Ladies and gentlemen, welcome, welcome, welcome to the Chips and Bits podcast. I'm your host, Kenny Myers, and with me, as always, my trusty companion.
It's me, Matthew Anderson.
It's him, Matthew Anderson. Matthew Anderson, how are you doing today?
So far, so good.
We're back. Our first episode, huge success. Huge success. We're both retiring as we always plan to. And so this will be our last episode because of the
success right off into the sunset
of that single Prince of Persia episode, a game that seems like it sold okay. So it looks like they didn't really listen to us as well as we wanted them to. But I am pretty excited about this one. We played this one during the pandemic. It's going to be a good one. And I think that's a good time to start the theme. The topic of today is Inscription. Inscription is a 2021 game. Wow, I didn't do any work on this whatsoever. It's a 2021 game, Inscription. It's an indie game released on Steam. The caveat of this game is that we all played it and then said, you must play this game. We're not going to tell you anything about it.
Yes.
So I will say, and I think it goes without saying, Matt, you agree too. If you ever don't want to be spoiled on, like if there's ever a game that you shouldn't be spoiled on, it should be this game. And I'm giving you this moment now to stop this podcast and just go and play it.
100% agree. We are a spoiler filled podcast, and typically we don't care one way or another if we spoil something, even if it's a brand new game. But this one, wholeheartedly agree. You're going to find out that it's such an interesting / weird game that as we talk about it, you're going to be like, what? But some of the stuff, it'll change your experience, I think, if you don't experience it your own way the first time through.
Even telling you that is a bit of a spoiler, yeah. I feel. I would jump ahead and say we both recommend this. Like, is that a fair assessment?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Like if you want to just skip the podcast now anyway.
Yeah. This will be a mutually recommended game. And so if you like our reviews and tend to play games for whatever reason based on our opinions, which you really shouldn't. But yeah. If you do, this will be one we're gonna tell you to play, and we'll tell you why. Ideally listen to that after you played it yourself.
So Inscription I would describe as
I like that you're starting with the description of this game.
That's fair. It's very difficult to describe.
It's a card game
like Slay the Spire style card game, you're gonna have to turn off those Apple fucking motions, my friend.
Sorry, I don't know why that's happening.
That keeps it. No, it's a setting. They enabled this thing, and yeah.
Is it a Mac OS setting?
For our podcast listeners, there's a Mac OS setting they turned on that will, like, if you make the right hand gestures, it'll actually like pop up a bubble that says thumbs up or something like that.
That was only for FaceTime calls.
No, it is like everything. It is just for video. It's all the same driver, I think. I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I didn't work on Apple stuff. Anyway, let's talk about Inscription. Inscription is
a card game.
And it was built in Unity. It was built by one person with the help of many artists and a lot of like Unity Asset Store assets, which I found really interesting. And it's based on what at first they call it a horror card game, but
Yeah, it's also a horror game.
Yeah. It has... it defies description in a lot of ways. But at least for the first part, you're in this log cabin with this very creepy pair of eyes. And you begin by playing this incredibly put together, like, card table that's sort of like a branching paths kind of thing, 2D, where you move your character along and each spot unlocks different sections, similar to like a Slay the Spire.
Or just any like traditional, like old school map based game where you move to different points on the map and each map is an encounter. And these encounters are card game battles.
Right. And it's like a deck builder in that you start building your deck from those spaces. And then all of a sudden you get into matches with this guy and you see this like carved face appear. And then there's all these different...
And it's creepy as fuck.
It's creepy as hell. And as you move like further down the map, you also start noticing like this character you're playing against, he has masks that he puts on that work both upside down and different ways for different characters that he's playing. Like each stop is a different character. And you slowly start building this deck. You usually end up dying, and then you restart the whole thing over again, just like roguelike would be.
Right, because it's a roguelike.
Yeah.
But it's also an RPG.
Yeah. And so also...
But really, really, it's an exploration game.
In between the card game that you're playing, you can actually get up from the table and explore around and unlock cards and things, solving puzzles.
The part where the cards talk to you, Kenny.
I was getting there. Solving puzzles to unlock cards that then talk to you.
About the guy, the creepy guy you're playing against.
About the creepy guy you're playing against. And whose eventual goal for you is to use his camera to essentially sabotage him and capture a camera that he takes a picture of you.
When you die, yeah.
When you die to make your death card.
Everyone, you will die at least once.
Make your death card, which you could use in the next round. It just feels insane describing this game. I just feel like I'm going fucking mad. Like,
so the funny thing is that like we had played this as you described in the intro. We played this years ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic, I feel like.
Yeah.
And I remember us texting back and forth trying to talk about like, how would you even like if you wanted to tell someone about this game? That's when we first originally were like, well, you just wouldn't. You just say, play Inscription, trust me, don't look up anything, specifically do not Google it, just go to Steam, download it, buy it, and play it. And so even though it defies description, I went and replayed it recently so we could podcast about it because I want it to be fresh. And even though I knew what it was and what was coming, I still was just like, what is this game? Like, what is this? It was like experiencing it all over again and forgetting tiny things and like watching a great movie where you remember, you know, the world, the characters, and some of the lines, but you missed a bunch of stuff in your memory. And then you watch it the second time, you're like, oh my God, this is amazing.
Did you play it all the way through again?
No, I played it to like 3/4 of the way through Act 2.
Got it. So speaking of acts, this game is then divided into acts, which it you don't know. It doesn't feel like it.
Because really it's a play.
So you take this picture of this guy, and that's the end of Act 1. And then it unlocks a whole meta-narrative about this game called Inscription that this game developers made and were found somewhere. And then you end up...
And it was full, like, fourth wall. It's like real video recordings of a person in real life, but fake life. But it's like real video then. You're out of the video game.
Yeah.
And watching that, someone describe finding this old video game in the woods, like Blair Witch style.
And then you install the real game Inscription, right, which is like a pixel. It's a four world pixel game with four boss areas, of which all of them were the last guy you did and the cards that were talking to you in the previous act. The interesting part about Act 2, and there is an Act 3 as well. Essentially there's a computer system, like an AI that eventually starts to take over and is trying to get Inscription uploaded to the world. Like is what it ends up being. And so the third act is then the computer guy's card game, which is very similar to the first act, but just like the card game is a little different. Yeah. And the card game changes quite a bit in the mini world too. And you learn about like different types of animals and stuff like that. Like it follows the theme of the four lords or whatever. It is insane.
It's the weirdest game I've ever played.
It is definitely maybe the weirdest game I've ever played.
Yeah. Like to the level of when you like, as Kenny was describing earlier, you'll immediately sense the immense amount of like craft and talent that must have been required to do a game of this scope, relatively, you know, on your own / small team. But then to think of like the level of like forward thought, it's almost like by the time you experience the end of this game, it's like, you know, one of those really good Christopher Nolan films where it's like the idea must have been there, but then in order to mask the idea, you have to reverse engineer so many steps backwards to what would be the original hook of this game. And then somehow come up with some way to weave that all together so that it still makes sense in the end, even though it's like 12 completely different games rolled into three acts upside down and left and right. That's just kind of like mind boggling to me.
Yeah. And also like Christopher Nolan movies, there's one female character and is paper thin. It is, you know, what's interesting about this game, and I recall, is Act 1 is, I think, the most fun to play. Like, I remember Act 1 just being, like, a really fun game. I'm wondering if you, getting to Act 2, had changed that. And Act 2 felt a little more tedious, but it became, the novelty of what was happening became more interesting, I think, in Act 2 and Act 3, and, like, figuring out what was happening than the actual gameplay. Which I think the card game kind of actually diminished in fun, in the second and third act. 'Cause the first act, like the card game is very fun. So much though that they developed a DLC, which I haven't played yet. That's like literally just Act 1 on repeat. That's another thing I remember is I remember being glad to be like done at the end of it because it felt like Act 2 and Act 3 were like, I was just trying to figure out what was happening more so than enjoying all the modifications they made to the card game itself.
Yeah, I didn't, like I said, I didn't make it all the way back through Act 3, so I only have the fond memory of it. But I think it's a fair assessment. It, you know, like any trilogy, in the second, there's a little bit of sort of like a down period where like the mechanics of this game switch solely from the focus being the card game and the characters inside the card game to it flipping on its head and trying to do this description of then you as the, so it's a little bit more expose and focusing on you, this first person in the game, and the mechanic of getting up and going and doing the exploration and moving around this cabin and finding things in the cabin and then going into this other place, you know, it's more about that. And that kind of like, and you do sort of feel this thing of like, I kind of just want to get back to playing cards, you know?
Yeah.
But you know, from what I remember of the third act, I really liked, you know, one of the things that does switch up as well as the mechanics, the energy systems and how you play the things in the third act. And so it did kind of have this effect of making me feel like, okay, cool, we're finally back to playing cards as the main catalyst for this game. But I don't feel as confident with the mechanics. I have to learn this new energy system. And then the difficulty level ramps up significantly as well. So I remember really liking the third act.
Yeah. And I mean, the third act was more of that exploration too. And that was kind of, I mean, the card game, it was fun to walk around and find things or learn things or try things out to explore like how you could get a different card or change the game. Like one thing I really remember is you unlock a knife at a certain point. And it just kind of is on the table. And you don't really like, you like, can reach over and touch it. And then eventually what you do is you stab yourself in the eye and take out the knife. And then the guy offers you an eyeball one of which has like a blue power on it that lets you like find more things in the cabin. It's just insane.
Right. Like, so like if you're listening and you just thought it couldn't get any weirder, there's a perfect example of just something we could have even forgotten to talk about in this podcast. It just comes out of nowhere and it just keeps making this game seem even more unreal than it was when you were first playing it.
The art style is, I don't even know how would you describe it? It's like retro 3D, but not. It has like a lot of like dithering.
It's a happy like mixed medium of sort of like not polished but well developed 3D, and then the mainly 2D mechanics of the card game are sort of like this hybrid, not quite pixel art but definitely kind of muted aesthetics down to like it's a little bit more pixelated and retro,
jaggy
throwback feel. Yeah, exactly.
It's funny because the cards themselves are actually like I think nice full res, yeah, aren't they?
It's just the card characters themselves.
Yeah. And when they start talking, the animation, like I can imagine the
and
amount
the dialogue.
Of
like, yeah, I've forgotten how clever and hilarious the cards.
Oh, the cards when they talk are so funny.
The cards all know about each other.
Yeah.
So it's like they talk about each other and then they say really funny things. Like you'll be looking at the board and be like, oh, this is a great play. And you'll take one of those characters and you'll put the card down. And then the card text will change to say, are you sure? Or like, no, don't put me here. And then you're like,
it's like, don't kill me this round is another one that shows up once. Yeah.
Yeah. Not again. Like they just say all this funny, clever stuff. Cause they also have their own, you know, self-awareness of what they are and what you're doing with them. And sometimes they want to help you, and other times they're like, don't make me a part of it right now. I'm kind of like tired. So yeah, it's very clever.
Yeah, sometimes they'll ask you to kill them this round or like put them out this round.
Put me here, like put me on this spot, like put me in, coach. And then they'll like take one for the team kind of.
I forget what the change in the second act, what the card game changes to.
What do you mean? It's just the same.
It changes a little bit though it's like the enemies you fight are different though, right? In each given area.
Yeah, the enemies are different. And then also you have your, you get the stake, the eyeball mechanic, and you have your card, your cards that you're playing, that are your death cards.
There's the hammer that comes into play in the third act too. I'm trying to remember what the hammer does, but they foreshadow it in the beginning because it's in the lodge originally. And all the while, every time you sort of get through one of these areas, you unlock this weird fucking story that there was also an arc for. There was also an augmented reality game for this game where people could find a real thing. Yeah. I just looked up how to solve it, to be honest. I was like, no, that sounds like fun for those people. But essentially just playing like, it's like the developer was playing like a 4D chess, like of like game development. And it's so weird because it combines so many ideas. Like it feels like it should not work well at all.
And or one or any of them should be poorly implemented or just not good.
Yeah. But it just gels. It just is so weird and it works so perfectly. And it's so hard to describe.
It really is. It's very hard to describe.
But Matt, tell us more about what you liked about Inscription.
Besides the things we mentioned, I mean, there's definitely something to be said for, we haven't really struck yet on the mood, or I guess the vibe of this game. Mm-hmm. That also arguably has three acts to it.
I would say definitely.
Yeah. And each of them are just really great. The creepiness of the first one is the best. This whole notion that you heard Kenny allude to, that this character that you're playing against that keeps switching the masks, they're all, you only play against this creepy dude. But the creepy dude is also all the other characters. So if you have these random encounters with, you know, a shop owner or, you know, a group of people to upgrade your cards, they like take their mask off and put a different mask on. And then there's other creepy character. And so they're also the bosses, like the mini bosses and the final boss. And each of those is unique and creepy. You know, like there's the fisherman. He's like, puts this like gross fisherman face on, and then he's got a hook and he hooks your car. I mean, it's just everything about the vibe and feel of this game goes up and down and changes like different parts of the story. And it's just so good. Like it's well written, it's well designed, and all of them somehow thematically fit into this thing that we can barely eloquently describe. So that was really cool. The music and the sounds are just so good. You know, like even the tutorial, when I played it again the second time, you know, booted up and you know, you're pressing A to go through the things, you're reading the subtext, the instruction text, and every time you press it, it's just like like it's so creepy and weird, and everything about it just fits. So that was great.
It also starts out, one of the funny things it does is when you load the game for the first time, the new game button doesn't work, just the continue button. So like it does these subtle little like play on what you expect.
Yep. I also like that there's some things about it where it doesn't hold your hand to make you feel as though it's to your detriment. You can't really mess up, but it really does do a good job of making you feel weight in these decisions that you make, like which card, there's a mechanic where you can merge cards, for example.
Yeah.
It doesn't tell you that you're doing that the first time you do it. It doesn't even tell you how you're merging them or what's going to be the end result. And so you wind up the first couple of times you do it, like losing one of your cards and feeling like, oh crap, did I just mess up? I can't go back. So like, did I lose something that I really wanted? I have a powerful card. Seems like a good decision, but you don't really know. And so more spoiler, like you can't really make a huge mistake and cost yourself the game, but it does make you feel like, oh, maybe I missed out on something. And then you learn the mechanics through that trial and error system. And I think that's really cool too, because there are many mechanics in this game where it just shows you a slate and you're like, what the fuck am I looking at? What is this?
Or like little paper cut out.
Yeah. And just like, hunters, what do you want to do? Pick a card.
In a circle. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're just like, here, pick a card. And you're like, but what's going to happen to my card? You took one last time. Like, what's going to happen? And then sometimes it takes your card.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's actually something it does really well. It doesn't explain mechanisms to you, but it gives them to you right away. And then you start figuring it out. And like it doesn't feel tedious. It feels like because the lightweightness of like the decision, like the consequences are never too dire.
Correct. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That you're right. I love that. You just kind of try things out to see what happens. You stick a knife in your eye or put a horse. Put a rabbit head on a weird symbol, and you figure out what that symbol means. It will tell you what different like status effects and will do, because cards have statuses.
Yeah, but you can read about.
But yeah, and then it'll like change the game up mischievously. Like it takes away one of your lives when you do boss fights and stuff like that.
By blowing out a candle.
Yeah, and then they add a bone mechanism where it's like teeth.
Yep.
Yeah, the teeth. Yeah, and you can get pliers and take your own teeth out. That's really good.
Pay, and you don't have enough, you can grab pliers from the table.
Yeah.
Pull one of your own teeth out and pay. Player. I mean, it's really strange, man. It's really strange.
It's so good and highly recommended by both of us. It really came by storm through the Chips and Bits Nerds group, a bunch of friends of ours. We all just sort of played it, came at the right time. And, you know, really kind of, I think, was at the forefront of this like new wave of cool, like deck building games that have been showing up with the roguelite stuff. So, and it's not even, there's a small part of the game.
Yeah. I mean, we've talked a lot, but I still feel like there's literally no way for us to do the description of this game.
I mean, it's easy to spend a lot of time in the first act, because that's actually where you spend most of the time, I feel.
You learn the most of the mechanics that really are going to propel you through the rest of the game anyways.
Yeah. And so like the second act and third act are really just extensions of that. And by then, I think like you're just kind of you just kind of run through it a lot quicker.
Yeah. Speaking of which, a mechanic that I had completely forgotten about that I remembered playing it the second time through and was like, wow, I don't remember this being in here, and I really greatly appreciate it, is the creepy dude has a concede mechanic, and I just forgotten about it. And so the second time through, again, even though, you know, I had forgotten some things like what happens when I give them my card, I can't remember, but I remembered how to play the game to like at a base. And so the first couple of levels and through the first boss, I was doing much better than the first time I had played this game. And several times, you know, I've just like, I'd lay some stuff down on the board and the guy was like, I give up. And just, you just move through. It's just like a free coast through the level. He just gives up and passes you through. And I'm like, that is such a cool mechanic.
Yeah.
That it like really makes it feel like, it's like when you concede in chess, right? It's like if someone looks at the board and they're like, I can't win. Yeah. They don't make you play through the rest of it and just like slog through it. He just gives you a free pass.
No, it's great. It's really just a stunning achievement and a great indie game. It's exactly what you want, like an indie game, you know, like a weird experimental indie movie to be, where you're just like, I don't know what this is going to be. And then you go along for a ride and you're like everywhere, like everything everywhere all at once, right? It's like kind of like a similar idea. It's just like, yeah, it what is going on with this world, but you're just totally into what's going on. And I think it was a great game. I think everyone should at least experience it. And you know, it's probably pretty cheap these days. You can get it in a Steam sale, and I think it's worth just giving that developer $5 if it's, you know, even if you don't like it.
Give him $20, man.
Yeah. Cause it's really fun. And even playing it again after all the mysteries were revealed was still so fun. It's just so good.
Except, did you play this the second time through on your Steam Deck too?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I did as well.
We have Steam Decks now. That's new in the podcast.
It is new, yes. Man, playing the card game on Steam Deck is so good. Like, playing that the card game is amazing.
Oh yeah, they got that down.
Yeah. The other stuff though, not as amazing. Like, oh, the getting up from the table and walking around. I had to keep like cranking the brightness up and doing like manual screen zoom because I was like, is there something here? I can't really see the wall over there. It's kind of dark. Like there's one in particular. There's like a clock in there and a couple of like passcodes and things where you have to like unscrew something out of a wall. And it's like you can't even. I could barely see the screw sometimes. So I had a little bit of like, I probably wouldn't play those parts, especially a lot of Act Two. It wasn't as enjoyable on the Steam Deck. But
interesting.
The rest of it was super good.
Well, the Steam Deck came after it, so we got to give it the benefit of the doubt.
I'm just, you know, just clarifying. If there's anybody else out there that wants to play a card game on their Steam Deck.
I think it's on Switch too. So I think I should be able to Google these things really quick.
2021.
Was that when it came out?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, Matt, I it's on Switch. Highly recommended.
Yep.
Both of us.
Two thumbs up.
I think that's a good time to call it, Matt. I think it's a good time to say you're trying to do the.
Why it's not working.
Man, the people who listen to this podcast have no idea what you're doing.
I'm just making funny hand signals and gestures and face things.
He is. Now he's stripping down. Oh God, Matt, why are you doing that?
You gotta come watch YouTube, man.
Very inappropriate. And with that inappropriate note, this has been the Chips and Bits podcast. Inscription gets a huge 2 bubble thumbs up from us.
Chips gets a chips and a bits.
Gets a chips and a bits. The full tamale. With you is me, myself, Kenny Myers, and...
Nice. Matthew Anderson.
My beautiful partner, Matthew Anderson. I was going to lead to you if you would... Give me some moments.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't have time for this, Kenny.
Let's play that theme again, huh?